Dave and Darren give you their top five things. What are those rascals up to now?
What
you
could it be?
They'll say anything, those two. They're just saying what we're all thinking. Welcome to it, everybody. Welcome to the Top 5 Things podcast. My name is Dave. This chap over here is Darren. Hello, Darren.
Our podcast happens to be brought to you by Nature's Treatment of Illinois. They have two locations. One is on Tech Drive in Milan. Yep. And West Main Street in Galesburg. Bing bong. Milan is...
Galesburg.
In Galesburg.
Bing bong.
Around here, we call it Galesburg. Both of those locations are open 7 days a week.
Galesburg sounds very luxurious.
I think I'm going to try the Galesburg. The Nature's Treatment, both locations offer a wide selection of products for recreational use, including flower vapes and edibles. The recreational waiting times are available. Reserve your time at ntillinois.com.
Here's number one.
Number one.
Got a update on Dylan J. Pickle. Do you remember Dylan J. Pickle? Does that name sound a bell?
The inventor of pickleball?
No. When the hell does a baseball season begin anyway?
Huh? That's the mascot for the Portland Pickles.
8 weeks, I believe, to the River Bandits.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense. This was the mascot for the Pickles who earlier in the year took a photo.
Oh, that's right.
And it was a picture for the
he
social media.
He was taking over the social media for the day or
right,
whatever.
Right, they let Dylan T. Pickle.
And his thumb got in the way.
He had his thumb pointed in a way where it was a picture of him and it just said, new phone, who dis? And the thumb...
It looked like his crotch.
The way that they had it kind of framed the picture...
It was a loving tribute to Brett Favre.
Yeah, it looked...
How do you even ponder that? This is not Detroit, man.
Now we find that the mascot for Dylan T. Pickle, the mascot's costume, has been stolen. I mean, I guess if you take the costume, you're really taking
You were kind of asking for it.
This all started in the Dominican Republic, where Dylan was making an appearance at a Caribbean baseball series.
Oh, boy. That's quite an undertaking.
He was due to return to Oregon via New York City at the end of January.
Can you imagine convincing someone to put on the rascal outfit and go to the Dominican Republic?
Oh, I bet.
For a tour?
They'd love to do it.
Oh, the heat, my God, the heat.
The team tweeting out a message from Delta showing that the bag that the pickle outfit was in got lost somewhere at JFK International Airport.
Do you just circle back home then? or do you go on to the DR?
I don't know. How does that work?
Do you go ahead and just keep going?
Well,
I'm here. Okay.
Hello, everybody. I'm Dylan T. Pickle. It would make more sense with the outfit.
Where's the outfit? We don't know.
We think it got lost at the airport.
But I'm here. If you'll give me a t-shirt and a Sharpie, I can make this happen.
The Portland Pickles swearing that this is not a prank. This is not something they're doing to get attention.
All the way from Portland.
Yeah. Assistant General Manager Parker Huffman saying, we're definitely known for being funny and joking around a lot on social media. So we understand the kind of boy who cry wolf scenario.
All right.
But so this is definitely not a joke.
You're talking about an assistant general manager in the minor leagues? You're talking about someone who's 19 years old.
Well, yeah, and this isn't really even the minor leagues. It's like one of those, it's like college kids playing.
Wooden bat league?
Yeah.
Okay. 16 years old.
We don't know what happened, sir. We don't know what happened to the...
I got to get to my trig class, man.
Yeah, it's a collegiate wood bat baseball team. They play in the Southern Division of the West Coast League, a collegiate summer baseball league that's based in the Pacific Northwest and British Columbia. So they were looking forever, like, great, we've lost the mascot. And those things aren't cheap, right? Those mascot outfits? especially one that's custom made as a pickle wearing a baseball hat?
I tend to think they're all custom made.
You can't just buy like a generic pickle mascot?
I don't know the way you can just buy one off the rack.
The mascot store?
The mascot store.
Well, forever and ever, they were trying to find this outfit. And your first thought is somebody grabbed it and is just walking around New York
because they thought it'd be funny. Outfit. Yeah, well, this is my new thing. This is my new persona in Times Square. I'm going up against the underwear cowboy.
After a long delay of being missing, Delta announced that they were able to somehow find the mascot.
All of it? All pieces?
Yes. And they brought it back, and they put it on the front porch of the baseball team.
And then just like, what, slinked away? What do you mean you left it on the front porch?
It says Dylan was...
You don't go inside the office and say, here's your mascot?
Delta found the mascot.
I can't face them eye to eye.
Delta found the pickle mascot and delivered him to their office, but it was after hours without any notification. And instead of being welcomed back with open arms,
don't you want to
Dylan was snatched from the front porch at 5 a.m.
There you go. What are you doing?
Ring doorbell footage shows a man wearing a jacket, hat, over-ear headphones, and
what's
a backpack,
this?
Grabbing the canvas bag and walking down the building steps.
I'll take it.
So
I don't
the
know.
Mascot goes missing. They find him, they deliver him, and then somebody steals it.
Yet again.
Again. They are now asking the people of Portland, please return Dylan T. Pickle to us. There's a reward for information and a no questions asked return. So yeah, here's the video of this guy just helping himself to the front porch.
I mean, you're going to need to spray that thing for a variety of STDs and who knows what.
Now the Portland police are involved in this. The costume is estimated to cost $1,000. Someone saying here that this guy who stole the costume, it says, seriously, he's going to have to tell somebody at some point that he stole the pickle mascot.
You can't keep that to yourself.
Cannot be kept a secret. So now there's a reward for the missing pickle who has gone missing now twice since his trip to the Caribbean.
Some guy's got his headphones on, walking by the ballpark. What's this? It's mine now, I guess.
please do the right thing. We were so excited when we heard that they found him, and then he's lost again. The tweet here says, we've started a reward thread of all the amazing prizes the community is providing for any information that leads to the return of Dylan T. Pickle. Deschutes Beer offering seats to a game. Someone's offering a bourbon that's made in Oregon. Here's more tickets to a Trailblazers game.
How about a trip for two to the Dominican Republic?
Trailblazers giving up autographed jerseys. A pizza place offering two hot pizzas. $20 in Lime Bike rides, T-shirts, Sloppy Joes. Oh, whoever hands this thing over is going to make out like a bandit. There's a prize package galore here.
Free COVID vaccination.
Two.
Excuse me, mostly sunny.
Are you eating again?
No, I'm not eating.
You're just over there chewing on your tongue? What are you doing?
No, I was just, you caught me in mid-swallow.
Oh, okay.
And I wasn't really swallowing anything. Just, you know, it's just the sort
just
of thing.
Over there fighting for air.
It's just the sort of thing people do. Mostly sunny skies.
Hot girls, we have problems.
That's right.
Too. We're just like
Except we're hot.
Okay, sorry to. Yeah, okay. Sorry, you're over there having hot girl problems.
Thank you. Mostly sunny. Well,
here we go.
Could I get some flat water, please? Or maybe a high C. 34 degrees today, and then cloudy and warmer tomorrow, and 45.
I have three people looking for advice, and I want to share these with you. These are rough. This is somebody who writes into an advice columnist wondering if they should tell the woman they're dating she's not physically attractive enough for their public image.
So that means we could still hang out, but not in public?
I'm a touring musician and always on the go. So it's hard to maintain a healthy relationship. Recently, I've been spending time with someone I really like. We have great talks, I enjoy her company, and I never get tired of her. The only issue is she's not as physically attractive as the women I normally go for. That's a big deal for me because I make a lot of public appearances and
I have a certain drip, a certain persona.
I don't think she would fit in.
Uh-huh.
Should I tell her how I feel? If so, how do I do it without hurting her feelings?
Would you mind letting us know what band you're in?
So we can not play your music?
Well, no.
Awful person.
Well, no, just so we know. Okay, what kind of touring band are we talking about?
I'm always on the go.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, in this advice column, they strongly discourage the letter writer from telling.
Are we talking about hotel happy hours? Is that what you're touring? What kind of touring are we talking about?
Always on the go, man. My first love is the road.
And what's
I'm married to the road. And then I got a gal on the side. She's got to understand that Lady Live Music is my wife. And you're my side piece, darling. You're just not as hot as the chicks I normally go for. I really dig talking to you, but you're kind of an uggo, and I think it might be bad for my image.
You're uggos, man.
How about this one? Is my neighbor's pet a bad moral influence on my daughter? I have a 7-year-old daughter, B, and we live 2 houses over from her best friend, Stacy. Stacy's also 7 years old. The two girls go to school together and frequently stay over at each other's houses now that everyone's fully vaccinated.
Yeah.
Stacy's parents recently got a pet fox.
Oh, boy.
This is legal where I live, although they have to register the animal as an exotic pet. I wasn't worried about the fox at first, but now I'm not so sure. The fox isn't violent or anything.
Yeah.
But almost every time she comes back from their house, B tells some hilarious giggling story about how the fox stole food or the TV remote or a bracelet or something else and ran around the house holding it in his mouth or trying to bury it somewhere.
Uh-huh.
Last night at dinner, B tried to steal some fries from my plate and tried to pass
it
off.
You think this is connected?
As a silly joke. I gave her a lecture about how it's wrong to steal, even as a joke, and I think it sunk in, but I'm worried about the lesson she's picking up from this animal, and I'm considering not letting her go over to Stacy's house anymore.
Boy.
Is this a step too far?
And what is the answer? How do they reply?
Yeah, you're overreacting. Of course you're overreacting.
And what was the response to the touring musician?
You should not tell someone, your girlfriend, that she's not attractive enough. What you can address is how she presents herself publicly. Dress codes are normal in life, but do not talk about her actual looks. Finally, this is one somebody wrote into the New York Times with this question. Was it okay to borrow a wheelchair for my able-bodied daughter to use? Last weekend I brought my...
You're trying to pass her off as someone who needs a wheelchair?
Last weekend, I brought my 8-year-old daughter to a very large museum. Though my daughter is healthy, I knew she'd get tired walking through the galleries. So I decided to borrow a wheelchair from the coat check for her. I'd recently used one at the airport for my mother, who is elderly and frail.
Uh-huh.
We had a lovely time looking at art and returned the wheelchair a few hours later. My question is, was it okay for us to use the wheelchair? We didn't need it, but it made our visit more comfortable and pleasant.
My guess is no.
Of course it's no.
My guess is that you leave that for someone who needs it. Now, if you were to have borrowed it from, say, a friend.
Even who, then,
who,
no.
Who wasn't going to be out and about. No.
Even, first of all, eight-year-olds can walk around.
Yes, they can.
And if your eight-year-old is too tired to go to the art museum.
Then they don't need to go to the museum.
Exactly. Yeah. The writer of this column.
It was such a pleasant time.
Oh, we had so much fun. Her pretending to be immobile and me commenting on all the artwork. The guy in the Times writes, it would have been better to plan a shorter visit that was more appropriate for her age and stamina. If another person who needed a wheelchair tried to borrow one while you had it, that person would have had to have waited. Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's just common sense. One more. Let me give you a bonus one. Should I divorce my wife for not being more productive during the pandemic?
You really could have got something done. You know, this was a real opportunity for you. You know that?
You blew it. We had all this time. We could have got stuff done.
You blew it big time.
And you blew it.
Big time blew it.
Before the pandemic hit, my wife and I, both in our early 30s and both lawyers, had long working hours and frequent business travel, with weekends spent largely on family events and cultural activities. Once our respective firms sent us to work at home, we calculated we would gain 30-plus hours a week, even while still working full-time due to not commuting, traveling, or socializing in person.
Mm-hmm.
We promised each other we would use that time to be productive in ways our prior schedules did not permit. I kept up my end of the bargain. In 6 months, I read 25 biographies. Developed decent conversational skills in 2 foreign languages.
Decent, okay.
Upped my running program to the point that I am marathon ready and started volunteering for voter registration advocacy, all while continuing to work full time.
Nice.
My wife has done not so much. She's been reading fantasy novels, occasionally watching a History Channel documentary, and has generally used the time to unwind. Her words. I've confronted her several times, and she tells me she is rejecting productivity culture and doesn't feel like improving herself right now. We share housework, cooking, and other practical matters, and she does exercise. But I'm getting increasingly frustrated, disgusted even, that she would waste this gift of free time just to watch TV and read books better suited for children. I've asked her to get counseling and a depression evaluation, but she's refused and thinks she's conducting herself, her words, fine. Do you have any suggestions other than divorce?
Oh, you are a delight.
Somebody writing into the Washington Post with this problem. And the author of this advice column says, yeah, divorce is the best option because you clearly have contempt for your wife. Quote, if you can't love and respect someone who made the perfectly valid decision to enjoy life,
right,
then maybe the most generous thing you can do is admit your heart isn't in the marriage anymore and free you both to discuss what comes next.
Do it.
I've read 25 biographies and developed conversational skills in 2 foreign languages. Meanwhile, she's watching History Channel documentaries. Wow. I can't imagine.
I wonder if they really thought that they were going to get the advice that, yes, get the divorce.
Well, all of these people, I think, write into advice columns
with a particular answer they think they're going
to
get.
Right. They're looking to get
confirmation.
Their idiot opinion reaffirmed.
Mm-hmm.
Give me some validation here. Look at what a superstar I am, reading books like a nerd. I'm marathon ready, for crying out loud, and volunteering for voter registration advocacy. Rejecting productivity culture is what she says. I bet she's a piece of work too, though. You know it? I don't think I want to hang with either one of these early 30 lawyer types. Hard pass. I mean, everyone thought with the time that you had, you were going to get more done. I think that's normal. But to go ahead and set it and then expect your partner to be as obsessed with all of this as you are, that's crazy.
How many albums did Weezer record?
Right?
6 or 7?
Yeah, there's that.
Number three.
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 Walt Disney World, said to be the happiest place on earth. It's located in Orlando, Florida. Florida.
A claim that can't possibly be true.
Well, name a happier place than Disney World.
Anywhere other than there.
Really? You wouldn't have fun at Walt Disney World.
Pass.
In an ongoing series of recent fights at Walt Disney World, police arrested 2 drunk guests on multiple charges.
Now, how much do you have to spend to get drunk at Disney World?
Yeah, that can't be cheap.
I mean, what is it, like $50 for a beer?
Yeah, that's a solid question.
Unless you're showing up drunk.
Like getting drunk and then going to the park?
Yeah, like tailgating outside of Walt Disney World. Is that allowed?
I don't think so, but maybe. I guess I could see maybe setting up a lunch in your car.
Do they allow that, or do they have people going around going, no, get in.
Yeah, I don't know.
Once you park, get in.
I could see maybe everybody eating. It would make sense if you had a family and you got your SUV. Everybody, we're going to eat before we go to the park, so I'm not paying $300 for lunch today. Maybe that's how they do things. I don't know.
But if you're going to get drunk at Disney World, ooh.
Yeah, how much does beer cost at Disney
World? That's pricey.
I'm allegedly going in a couple of weeks, but I don't think I'm going to be doing a lot of drinking.
I think that's probably a good move.
Yeah.
Save that for the hotel.
Yeah. I can drink beer here. Yeah, I want to do Disney stuff if I'm going to Disney.
You can always pack a cooler. Oh, wait, you're probably flying. You're not driving down there.
Not this time, no. 2 sisters from New Jersey got in what's described here as a drunken naked fight in Disney World. The 2 women, ages 29 and 31, sisters, vacationing with their family in Orlando. That night, the sisters ate at a steakhouse and seemed to be having an enjoyable evening at first. It says here they were 30 minutes late for their reservation. They got drinks at an Irish restaurant, and then the wheels fell off of this thing. First, they tried to go back to their hotel, which was off of Disney property.
Yeah.
Their phone died. Disney security helped call them an Uber. The Uber driver took one look at these drunken gals and said, "No, not getting in my car. Those 2 are too drunk." The women then argued while waiting for a taxi, and that's when the night unraveled. The older sister laid into the younger sister about what a terrible mother she is. That's when she slapped her. The younger sister then threatened to punch her in return. This is at 12:40 in the morning now, and the Orlando County Sheriff's Office gets a dispatch saying there's a fight happening there at Disney World.
What time does Disney World close?
Well, I think this was at one of the restaurants that must stay open later, right?
On the grounds?
The younger sister was screaming and crying when the police arrived near Cirque du Soleil. She was wearing only her underpants and sandals. Sheriff's report here says deputies assisted with putting on a blue jean jacket since she was not wearing any clothing. Deputies learned the story of what happened. A Disney security manager witnessed nearly everything during the brawl. Both females were screaming at each other. The security manager said one female was sitting on a bench while the second female was standing over her. After attempting to calm the situation, the security manager said one female slapped the other in the face. At that point, both females began punching, slapping, and pulling each other's hair. The security manager then pulled the 2 drunk guests apart. Quote, "Once separated, both sisters ran at each other and slipped in the younger sister's vomit. They then fell into the bushes while still fighting. The security manager stated that the younger sister ran a few feet away and took off her dress, exposing her breasts. Shortly after, they began to punch each other again. The security manager and another cast member who witnessed the fight were able to once again separate the two until the off-duty deputies arrived on scene.
Not like this, Mickey Mouse. Not like this.
Drunk, naked, slipping in puke and fighting your sister is no way to enjoy the happiest place on earth.
And paying way too much for a steak at Disney World.
Yeah, you're going to puke up a steak you just paid $80 for? The deputies questioned the younger sister, it says, and she only wanted to talk about how she did not like her sister's boyfriend. The officers arrested the drunk guests for domestic violence, battery, and disorderly intoxication. Those are all misdemeanor crimes. Neither woman sustained injuries. Sheriff's report here says they were very intoxicated and endangered the safety of other guests and cast members at Disney Springs by physically fighting in a public area. State's attorney's office declined to press or pursue criminal charges. Both sisters requesting that the other not be prosecuted. That's a fun family, huh?
Well, I hope you have a good time, allegedly.
You imagine you're fighting with your sister, and then the next thing you know, you're slipping in puke, and everyone is naked for some reason. This is beer's like $10 a piece. Each beer's
that's
like
all,
10,
huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
I find that surprising.
Yeah. It depends on the size and beer type and where you're at. But the average cost for a beer at Disney World is $10. So, I don't know.
Load up.
That's not going to be my strategy when I'm down there. I'm going to have much more water than beer. I don't want to end up fighting with somebody at the Disney Springs.
Don't forget the bug spray.
Number four. A Utah motorist was arrested following a traffic stop on Wednesday. Arrested for having 11 fingers. One of the fingers was in his wallet.
Not his own.
And not his. Victor Chavez Zuniga, 27 years old, had a extra finger that he kept in his wallet. It says here in the police report that it was beginning to turn green and the fingernail appeared decayed.
Well, how do you find that?
He was driving...
How do you pull somebody over for that?
He was driving 2 miles from his residence in Orem, Utah, which is about 45 miles south of Salt Lake City. Cop pulls him over. It's 10 o'clock at night. He's got a broken headlight. A computer check turned up several active warrants for this guy. They then handcuff him and put him into custody. Two of the warrants stem from his failure to appear in court for a hearing related to a prior felony fraud conviction. During a search of Chavez Zuniga, a police officer found the defendant's wallet, which contained a severed finger in a cloth wrap. The finger appeared to have pus and blood on it, and it was, again, beginning to turn green. When the officers removed the finger from the cloth wrap, a noticeable foul smell was observed. Oh, yeah, no, that's my wallet finger. Why did he have a severed finger in his wallet? Don't know. Whose finger was it? Also wish I could tell you.
Okay.
Don't know.
That's not why he was pulled over.
No, he had a headlight out. Being held now on outstanding warrants and a new misdemeanor charge of abuse or desecration of a dead human body.
Not necessarily.
What do you mean?
Well, you can have a finger off of somebody who's still alive.
Oh, yeah, I guess that's true. Like somebody lost a finger at work. You can, and you're like, is it cool for
you? Can I have that? I guess.
Would it be all right if I...
Hey, if you're not going to reattach that, can I have that?
I'd hate to see it wasted.
Or if the reattachment doesn't work, can I have it?
It's not.
I mean, you go right ahead and see if it'll. You know, they can put it back on. But if they don't,
yeah, if it doesn't take, I'd love to have it in my wallet. I mean, wrapped up in cloth, of course. I'm no weirdo. You know,
certainly a modicum of decorum.
So yeah, no idea whose finger it is. Why it's there? This guy hasn't said.
Did you ever have anyone in the neighborhood who had an extra digit?
No, I'm. Did you?
Yeah, I think there was a kid that lived not too far from us who
had like 11 fingers.
Well, no, I mean, I think if you have, I could be wrong about this. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't make this. I think if you have like six toes.
Yeah.
I think you have six toes on both feet.
Oh, I guess that would make sense.
I don't know that you'll have six toes on one foot and only four on the other.
Is that possible? You're not six on one, four on the other?
I'm sure it's happened. I'm sure it's happened, but I would tend to think that if you have an extra digit, it's on both hands or both feet. But maybe that's not the case. Maybe it's only on one foot.
Antonio Alfonseca, the pitcher who had six fingers on each hand, and
okay, but
six toes on each feet.
Okay.
He had the whole thing. So 12 fingers and 12 toes.
They called me 2-4.
Now that is it a condition or a mutation?
It's just your genetics. That's
yeah, polydactyl is what that means. Or what that's called. It's a condition. He was born with six fingers on each hand and six toes on each foot. I guess that makes sense that you would have either 12 or 10. You wouldn't have 11.
I would think that would be rarer.
Right?
If it exists at all.
This hand is fine.
Yeah, this one over here. I call this one the stranger.
Okay, this article says that it's in humans and animals, and it can present itself on one or both hands.
Oh, there you go.
The extra digit is usually a small piece of soft tissue that can be removed. Occasionally, it contains bone without joints. And very rarely, it may be a complete functioning digit. A complete
functioning finger.
Boy, would that be something else. I
wonder if that would... I guess they did allow it in Major League Baseball.
Well, you can't deny someone work because they have six fingers. That's like it's the...
extra grip.
Right? Imagine you'd be a good masseuse.
Or a typist.
Holy cow, you should see!
I'm doing 400 words a minute. None of them are correct, but
it's very rare to have something called central polydactyly, where you have the middle finger. You have an extra middle finger. Usually, the extra finger is shooting off the side.
Typically, yeah, like a pinky thing.
Uh huh.
Piano player.
Oh my gosh.
Guitar player.
I'm looking at a picture here of a dude with two thumbs. That's. I don't know about that.
Fantastic hitchhiker. There's not a car that goes by that doesn't stop.
I would never pull over a hitchhiker unless they had two thumbs. Two thumbs? Come on in.
I remember doing a wood burning back when, everyone who wasn't doing wood burning.
Sure.
And I did the keep on trucking wood burning. And you know what the keep on trucking thing is.
Sure, right.
With the thumb. It wasn't until I was done burning that I noticed that I had five fingers and one thumb. So I kind of had that going.
Really made it your own.
Right.
Danny,
but not two thumbs.
Danny Garcia was an American professional boxer. Multiple world championships for two weight classes.
Yeah, but you would never know that.
He had six fingers on just one hand.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know that.
Well, you don't think it would be like extra? Would the punch hurt more because you got that extra finger?
But you got the same. You're wearing the same glove, aren't you? Same boxing glove, aren't you?
There's more mass to
the hand. Or do you have to go walking around asking, do you guys have a six-fingered boxing glove? What? Why, yes, we do. We've been waiting for this.
I think you know that we do.
They've beaten me up for years for purchasing that.
Emma Arterton is a Bond girl. She was in Quantum of Solace. She had an extra finger. Now, how they didn't make that part of her character story, I don't know. Now, extra finger, the gal with the extra touch. That'd be cool.
I can see where you'd probably want to maybe get rid of the extra finger.
Uh-huh.
But an extra toe.
Oh, no, you'd keep that.
You might just go ahead as long as you're, you know, as long as it fits fine in your shoe.
Right.
Why not keep it?
Yeah, I guess you'd have to get shoes a little bit wider, but that's easy enough to do. And
well, yeah, you might have a narrow foot if you just got an extra toe.
Right.
I don't know about an extra big toe. That might be. That might be.
Just walking in circles.
I mean, if you had just a, if you, you might not even have to tell anybody. I mean, you would have to tell somebody if you had an extra toe.
Is that something you would tell someone? If you were in an intimate situation,
well, on which date do you bring that up?
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Like, if I had an extra toe,
I mean, I would.
I think I would see if she noticed it. Right. I don't know that I would bring it up because that seems like it could get somebody out of the mood.
I mean,
real
if you're
fast.
You know all of a sudden starting to get kind of serious,
right?
And all of a sudden she's like, "What is that on the back of my ankle?"
Right. I wouldn't. It's not like a venereal disease where you have to say something beforehand.
No.
An extra toe. I think what I would do, the way I would play it is, I would go about my business, and then afterwards I would say, any concerns, anything unusual? And when she said why, I'd say, I have six toes. Then I would show.
Didn't you notice the traction I was getting?
Right. I got to prove that I can get the job done. And then
I thought you had incredible traction. Well, there's a reason for that.
I can't take all the credit.
The leverage is God given.
What is a talent but a gift from God? Check out this extra toe.
Look how I push off. It allows me to grasp and release.
This little piggy went to market, this little piggy stayed home, and this little piggy was responsible for the traction that gave you such an enjoyable Friday night.
And this little piggy went to the movies.
You'd have to come up with a whole backstory for the little piggy. This little piggy had roast beef. This little piggy ordered a pizza pie.
This little piggy went to the beach. Changes.
So all the piggies do what they do in the nursery.
I mean, if you had a kid with the six toe, you'd have to, unless the little piggy went to.
Every time, you'd have to come up with something different. This little piggy stayed home to study for his driver's ed test. Roast beef? What?
This little piggy ordered takeout.
Number five.
Woman tried to flirt with her landlord to get a couple bucks knocked off the rent.
Hey there, hot stuff. Hey, good looking. What you got cooking?
Tried to flirt with her cute landlord to get cheaper rent and got absolutely denied.
Mm.
We're not playing that game. The rent is the rent. As a cute landlord, thought it'd be a good idea to kind of, you know, bat her eyes and say, hey, what can we do about this? Gee, mister, rent sure is expensive. Penny McNatt is 25 years old, and she had an idea to catch her landlord's attention. Mm-hmm. There was a faucet that needed to be fixed. So she started a conversation with the landlord. She was sharing this as a flirting fail, which I guess is a thing. She shows the text messages. She asks the landlord, hey, my faucet in the kitchen is acting up again.
Check out my drip.
Mm-hmm. He responds, okay, can you send me a picture of it? Might need to be replaced. She then attaches a picture of herself pointing to the faucet. And the landlord asked for a close-up picture.
Oh, no.
And she thought, well, I'll send him a close-up of myself, grinning. And he responded, no, close-up of the faucet, not you. Can I get a close-up? What do you think of this? No, not you, the faucet, stupid. Yeah.
What do you need a picture of the faucet for?
Well, because you need to know what type of faucet it is.
He doesn't know what sort of faucets he has. Well, he
probably has a bunch of units.
Let me take a look at it, and we'll see what we can do.
Right. Send me a picture so I know what it looks like. And then, yeah.
You're still going to want to take a look at it before you go and buy anything, right, for the most part?
Well, but you need to know, like, how many...
Let's just see what's going on here.
Right. How many... Is it one of the three-hole ones, or is it a one-hole one?
And I suppose you could figure that out by going and looking at it.
Yeah, but maybe he didn't want to go into her apartment because she's always putting the moves on him, you know? Who was the... was it Lana on Three's Company, the... Really, the oversexed tenant there at the Jack Tripper Apartments.
Uh-huh.
Was she always putting a move on Mr. Furley?
Well,
too?
No,
she wanted Jack, obviously.
Mr. Furley was interested in her, and she was interested in Jack.
That's what I'm remembering. So Lana was never like, "Hey, Mr. Furley, how about you knock a couple bucks off my rent?"
Yeah, there might have been some of that going on. How about I tighten your scarf?
Lana was the promiscuous older female neighbor who pursued Jack and was in turn pursued by Mr. Furley.
If you decide to wear a scarf,
yeah,
aren't you kind of risking the idea of being choked out?
Yes.
I mean, there's an additional...
It's a good call.
An additional option for someone.
It's a good call.
If you get into some sort of heated argument.
Yeah, if I ever got into a scrape with Mr. Someone Furley.
Who's wearing, the first thing you would do
right.
is choke him out with his own scarf. And you really almost leave no evidence.
There's a book called Come and Knock on Our Door, A Hers and Hers and His Guide to Three's Company. And they point out that John Ritter had a real problem with the Lana character. He did not think it made any sense.
Uh-huh.
Because he's saying, listen, my character, Jack Tripper, is this sex-craved guy.
Yeah.
Why would he turn down the advances of an attractive, sexually voracious woman? And the writer said, well, because she's older than you. That would turn you off. And Ritter goes, I'm not turned off at all by her. I mean, she was in her 40s, and that was middle-aged, whereas Jack was in his late 20s, early 30s.
Yeah. She looked kind of rough, though.
Do you think?
Yeah.
She asked to be released from her contract because Lana had a dwindling role on the show. She felt like, you know, they're not using me enough. I really should be used more on Three's Company. And the only reason they introduced her at all was because originally the idea of there being an older, you know, sexually adventurous person pursuing...
Had to replace Mrs. Roper?
Yeah, right. Audra Lindley, Mrs. Roper, was her role. So then once they wrote her
Although
off the show...
Although she was never hitting on the kids.
She would hit, she'd let Jack know every once in a while that she would... right? Am I remembering that wrong? She just always wanted Stanley.
Yeah.
And Stanley wasn't interested. ED, I guess.
Yeah. I suppose
I don't know if they ever covered that, but...
I suppose. I don't know.
Mrs. That, Roper's I a don't dish. I don't know how to tell you this.
Yeah, I don't know if they... If impotence...
oh, come on.
Came come up on. In any of the storylines.
Come on. Stop it. Of course that's what's going on. Really no way to treat that in the 70s.
Although... He tried to laugh it off by mugging for the camera.
Right. Right. I can still get my, I can't get that to work, but I can get my eyes to roll like this.
This could really actually be a symptom of some very serious.
The Lana character.
Vascular problems.
The Lana character is only in 9 episodes. Yeah. And then she was written out without any explanation, and they never referred to her again. Gosh, in my head, she's on every other episode. I guess she just really made it an impression on me. No longer with this, by the way. The actor who played Lana.
You can mug for the cameras all you want. This is a clear indication you're going to have a massive stroke soon.
You suck.
You can laugh it off all you want.
No. No.
Laugh it off all you want.
Yeah. Norman Fell and Audra Lindley were the ropers, right? Uh-huh. That was her biggest role. Norman Fell did a couple of other things.
Oh, yeah.
What else was Norman Fell in that I would like?
Oh, he even made movies.
Right? He was in... Okay, don't tell me. Was he in 12 Angry Men?
That sounds right.
Because I feel like every time I watch 12 Angry Men, it's like, hey, man, what the hell's Mr. Roper doing in this? And he's in the Ocean's 11 movie. I know he's in that.
Yeah, he made a lot of movies.
God bless Norman Fell. Got a lot of work.
And then they bolted.
Making this face.
They bolted and then got a house right next to Jeffrey Tambor.
Yeah. Yeah, that didn't quite work out. It seemed like a good idea at the time to give the Ropers their own show. People really enjoy the Ropers. How about we give them their own show? And as a nation, we all said in 1978, that's okay.
All right.
They were going to do another spinoff of Three's Company.
Mm-hmm.
There was Three's Company, then there was Three's a Crowd. Do you remember that one?
I remember the name.
So Three's a Crowd, the premise was Jack married this girl.
Oh, yeah.
And then they lived with her dad, played by Robert Mandan.
Right. Were they anywhere near the Ropers?
It was the same building. And I guess there was talk in the 80s. Back then there was a thing called a checkerboard, the NBC checkerboard stations, where it's complicated to explain, but there were these sitcoms that were on before prime time. So one of them I remember was Suzanne Summers. It was a sitcom called She's the Sheriff. Do you remember that?
I don't know that I do.
Well, they were going to have these rotating sitcoms. It didn't quite take off. But one of the things they were going to do, and they offered this to Norman Fell and the actress who played Mrs. Roper. They were going to bring the Ropers back. And this was going to be yet another spinoff called Three Apartments. And the premise was this. They would have the three apartments. One was owned by John Ritter.
Yeah.
And then Joyce DeWitt and Richard Klein and Don Knotts were going to be guest stars.
Did they live together?
And then another apartment was going to be Robert Mandan's.
Yeah.
From Three's a Crowd. And then in the third apartment, it was going to be Nancy DeSalt and Jim J. Bullock playing their characters from Too Close for Comfort. Somehow they were living together.
What?
Ted Knight was out of the picture because he died.
He was dead?
They were going to replace, Three Apartments was going to replace the Ted Knight show, which was what they called Too Close for Comfort
right.
when they made it a syndicated show.
Okay. This is Too Close for Comfort.
So Ted Knight dies in real life, and the idea was that Mrs. Rush and Monroe would live together in an apartment in the same building as Jack Tripper and the Ropers.
Well, no, not the Ropers.
No, the Ropers would have had one of the units. Well, they were the landlords.
Then it's more than three apartments then.
Right. Okay, so they're the landlords of a three-unit apartment building. So there's three units and then the Ropers live there too.
But wouldn't he have been busy with soap Or was soap over by then?
In 1987?
Oh, 87. Oh, okay, yeah.
Long since gone.
Okay.
I'm furious that we didn't get Nancy DeSalt and Jim J. Bullock living in an apartment together under Jack Tripper and Robert Mandan. That would have been a thing, man. That would have been a now you've got a show.
But you're living in an apartment complex with your father, next to your father-in-law?
Yeah. So it would have been, I guess, Janet and Richard Klein would have been like guest stars.
They would have just showed up from right. time to time.
Finally, they got the father-in-law his own place, but it's in the same unit, the same building, right? Not the same unit, but the same building.
And the Regal Beagle's in the basement.
Wow. Can you imagine, like, an episode where it's Monroe and Jack Tripper just knocking him back at the Regal Beagle?
Well,
we were robbed.
I could see where Monroe might have had a bit of a twinkle in his eye for Jack. I understand. I've met your lovely wife, but from what I understand, back in the day. If the rumors are true.
She's the Sheriff, the Suzanne Summers show, ranked number 44 on TV Guide's 50 worst TV shows of all time.
So that means it's not that bad.
Well, there are 43 shows that are worse.
Okay, there you go.
I guess that's one way of
looking. I'll take that as a win.
I guess that's one way of looking at it. Summer stars as Hildy Granger, a young woman suddenly widowed with two kids to support. Employee worries end when the commissioner of Lakes County, Nevada, offers to appoint her as sheriff, the job that was held by her husband until his death. Now, was he killed in the line of duty? Because I don't know that you would give her that job, would you?
No, it was like a burning bed.
She accepts the position and is forced to handle the daily problems of locals and tourists with extra trouble created by the four deputies on her staff. She also has to deal with a colleague who thinks that Hildy should not be the sheriff. Well, yeah, you just can't appoint somebody's widow as the sheriff. The deputy that was furious that he was passed over for the job of sheriff.
That's always a dangerous situation.
Yeah, you think? So you would have had She's the Sheriff and then three apartments.
Was that a drama?
No, it was a it was a sitcom, Darren. Uh-huh. We got She's the Sheriff. We did not get three apartments. Now, that would have been something. Would have watched that. Of course, I watched She's the Sheriff, so what do I know? This was the whole prime time begins at 6:30. Did they do that here? I don't think they did that. I don't think Channel 6 did that here. They did it in Des Moines, and they did it in Chicago. Prime time starts at 6:30.
Still letting Don Ryan have his say.
It was before must-see TV. There was prime time starts at 6:30 with She's the Sheriff.
And she just shot the deputy.
Wait, did her husband die because she murdered him for the job?
That's what I say, burning bed.
Oh, no, no, no.
Is it all over, Rock?
I guess so.
I didn't think it'd be like this.
That's it for Dave and Darren and the top five things. Thanks for listening and subscribing and telling your friends. And if you get a chance, you leave a review.
Yeah, you do what you can do.
Also, thanks to Nature's Treatment of Illinois for sponsoring today's podcast.
You can order items online from both locations. That's Galesburg and Milan through Leafly. You'll find that if you go to their website, ntillinois.com.
Until next time, hang loose, kooks.
And you stay classy and safe, Quad Cities.
Come on, Quad Cities, represent. This is for the Quad Cities record spot. Davenport, yeah, we keeping it locked.
Rock Island.
Come on, and it just don't stop.
East Moline,
yeah, they keeping it hot.
All right, show's over, I'm tired.
Stand clear of the closing doors, please.